The scripture reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 3 and then verse 15. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. Verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
So we come in our series on giving to think about investing in people. Paul writing at the end of his life to the young man in whom he had invested so much, writes, and the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let's pray as we consider this scripture together. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word now, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to the truth of your word, to reflect from the scriptures on the things that we've been hearing in the last half an hour as the choir has sung and as different ones of your servants have brought reports of their ministries. Teach us, instruct us, and give us, Lord, the motivation and the driving conviction we need to invest in people. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been sitting down for a long time. Can you manage for a few more minutes? Two things the human brain needs to work properly. Do you know what they are? One is oxygen, and the other is the Word of God. So I suggest that just to help us concentrate for these last few minutes, you wiggle around a little and take three deep breaths to get the oxygen there. And then I'll see what I can do about the Word of God, okay? Three deep breaths, please. Now move around a bit to get comfortable, okay? Relieve the pressures on the wrong places. We've been thinking about giving. We spent the first couple of Sundays of this month seeing how God's people in the Old Testament supported the work of God among them. And we've sought to learn lessons for our own situation. Last Sunday, we thought about Jesus' call to us to commit and surrender everything we have, materially and in every way, to the extension of his kingdom. We saw that Jesus taught us to not lay up treasure on earth, but to lay up treasure where? In heaven. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Have a look around here. Can you see anything eternal? Is there anything in this building this morning that's eternal? Or in the car park? Can you see anything eternal? You can. People are eternal. And the Word of God is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Mark 13:31. The choir sung for us beautifully a song that captures the truth that people are eternal. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, writing to the Thessalonians who had come to Christ through his ministry, he said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing before the Lord Jesus at his coming? What will we have to show for our lives, as it were? And then he says, is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. This was the message that the choir sang to us so beautifully just now. When we stand before the Lord to give account of the stewardship of our lives and of the material things that he's entrusted to us, and we look around heaven to show him what we invested in, what will there be? There will be people and the impact of the Word of God on people. We talked last week too about our commitment as the Lord's people to extend the kingdom of God. Jesus made it very clear in his trial before Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "Else would my servants fight that I might not be delivered to you." In his last prayer in John 17, Jesus prayed about his life's work, as it were. Do you remember in John 17:4, he said, "I have glorified thee on earth by accomplishing, by finishing the work you gave me to do." And as we read on in John 17, we see what that work was. "I have manifested thy name to those you gave me. They were yours," he says, "and you gave them to me. I have given them the word you gave me." Jesus saw his work in this world in terms of people and the Word of God, because those things are eternal. And as he faced his own death on the cross, where he would complete our salvation, he prayed, "Father, I've glorified thee on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do." What will we say in our last hours? What will we pray? "Father, I thank you for all the houses you let me buy, for all the fields that I accumulated, for all the cars I bought and smashed up, for the huge bank account I'm leaving behind me for my children to argue over when I'm gone." Or will we be able, at the end of our lives, to tell the Lord, "Lord, I have accomplished the work you gave me to do," and know that we used our lives, that we used all that he entrusted to us for the extension of his kingdom, the progress of his word in the lives of people? This is what is on Paul's heart at the end of his life. He writes to this young man in whom he's invested so much, and he says, "The things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul had invested in people. His whole life was given to that. What about you and I? Will we invest in people in such a way that they're able to invest in other people and so on? The whole progress and future of the kingdom of God and the work of God in this world, in this place, in this city, in this country, depends on our faithfulness and commitment to invest in people. What is the great book of victory of God's people in the Scriptures? It's the book of Joshua, isn't it? It's the book of victory. How does the book of victory start? The first five words of the book of Joshua say, "After the death of Moses." Isn't that strange that the book of victory begins with the death of one of God's greatest men? No, it's not strange, because Moses invested in people. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, arise." Moses had invested in Joshua. You can study it through Moses' life, how he concentrated and focused on the life of that young man. And how when Moses died, the work of God moved forward in victory. But the book of Judges is the book of defeat for God's people. And it begins with five words, "After the death of Joshua." And then it goes on to say, the people said, "Who will go up for us?" And Judges 2 verse 10 makes the truth clear. After the death of Joshua and those who were his age mates, it says in Judges 2 verse 10 that there arose a generation who did not know the Lord or the things that he had done for Israel. Joshua and his generation failed to invest in people. Perhaps they were too busy with the conquest of the physical land that they didn't impart the spiritual truth to those who were to come after them. It's one of the most tragic portions of Scripture to read, the book of Judges. What about us? Are we investing in the future of the kingdom of God and in an eternal future by investing in people? You say, Mike, how do we do that? How briefly do we invest in people? I would suggest there are two ways of doing it. One is we invest our time and effort directly. As Paul talks of here in 2 Timothy 2:2 and exhorts Timothy to do. We invest in the lives of people. How do we do that? Simply four things. By our prayer. You invest in people spiritually by praying for them. Focused prayers, day after day, praying for a work of God in their lives in specific areas. You invest in people by praying for them. You invest in people by the example of your life. That's the second great way, means by which you invest in people. Third, you invest in people by loving them. Because people are incredibly open to the ministry of those that they sense love them. By prayer, by example, by genuine love, and by sharing the scriptures with them. Even if it's only to sit with people and read the scriptures together and share them. You may not be a great teacher of the Word of God, but every one of us can do that, and we can invest in people. Who are the people you're investing in? Perhaps they're your own children. Or nephews and nieces. Or workmates. Or people in a Sunday school class you lead. Or a home group that you share in. But by all means, let us invest in people. Let us invest our time and energy. Let us also invest financially. It's an interesting thing that money and time and energy are interchangeable commodities. You can invest time and energy earning money. And then you can spend money to gain time and energy. Have you ever thought about that? You can do that. You can employ someone else, for example, to do things for you that buy you time and energy to do other things. In the economy of God, time and energy and money are interchangeable commodities. Not totally so, but to a large extent. So we can invest in people by giving our time and energy to earn financial resources that can in turn be used to free the time of others to invest in people. These people who stood here before us this morning, and even myself, as I think about the support of my home church in the UK, I am freed to invest my time and effort in ministry to people through the financial investment of others in me. This was also part of Paul's experience in Philippians chapter 4. He writes to the church at Philippi and he says, "No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So even when I was in Achaia, in Greece, you sent me help again and again." And in Acts 18 verse 5, in Acts chapter 18, we read how Paul worked as a tent maker as he tried to minister to the Corinthians. But it says that when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, presumably bringing some of those gifts from Philippi, Paul was able to devote himself completely to teaching and preaching. So brothers and sisters, the challenge before us this morning is to ask ourselves, are we using our time and our energy and our financial resources to invest in people who are, in the end, the only eternal investment we can make? Are we doing that? Let us reevaluate our lives afresh and commit ourselves to invest in people. Let's do so with our time and effort as we pray and set an example in our lives and as we love and as we share the Word of God. But let us, as we come here now in a minute, and as we go out from this place and reassess and reevaluate the use of our material resources, let us be sure that we are investing as directly as we can in the spread of the Word of God in the lives of people. Let's evaluate all use of our monies, all use of our giving in those terms, to see the Word of God move forward in the lives of people. Are you investing in people? Investing in the future of the work of God? Investing in an eternal future? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the focus of Paul's life that we read about in these scriptures, of the investment of his life in Timothy and Titus and Epaphras and many others, and for the spiritual heritage we have received through that investment of Paul and others. We pray that we would be found faithful in our generation to invest in the future of your kingdom, and to invest in our own eternal future by investing in people. Give us wisdom as to how you might want us to apply this message in our own lives, both by our direct investment and by our indirect investment through giving and supporting others. Teach us your will, Lord, for us, and show us the way forward, and give us the empowering of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.